Welcome to our series on St. Thérèse of Lisieux. My name is Father Jacques Daly. I'm from St. Vincent Archabbey in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. I'm a Benedictine monk and priest. And I'm delighted to talk to you today about St. Thérèse. I'm a convert, and her autobiography was the first book that I read after my conversion. I'm also at present time a hospital chaplain at Westmoreland Hospital in Greensburg, and I visit the sick daily. I live in a monastery where we have that's 150 years old. We're the oldest Benedictine monastery in America. We have 1,200 students, 200 monks. And this monastic life has spread throughout America. One of the things that's very interesting about St. Thérèse is that 1,700,000 people visit her monastery every year. And it's phenomenal when you think of it. 1,700,000. And we say, why is that? She has such a fascination for so many people. Another thing that's very curious about St. Thérèse is the fact that many people call her different things. For some people, she's Teresa. For other people, she's a little flower. In France, she's called La Petite Thérèse because she wanted to be called the little Thérèse. I've chosen to call her Thérèse because that's the closest to the French sound, and that's what's most easy for her to come across. Thérèse always, those who begin to read Thérèse or listen to her, she energizes us. She gives us an inner peace and a hunger for the Lord. She says, for simple souls, there must not be a complicated way. One of the reasons that I've chosen this subject is that Thérèse went through a period after her mother passed away of 10 years of emotional upheaval, a young girl of 4 and a half losing her mother. And during these 10 years, this 9 and 10 year struggle for emotional freedom, that can help many, many people who are having emotional problems, who are having difficulty, and especially in maintaining long and lasting friendships. And so in talking about Thérèse during this 13 episodes, we'll be talking again and again about friendship. How do we become spiritual friends with somebody? What is spiritual friendship? By observing how God worked in Thérèse's life with her character and temperament, how her natural affinities were raised to a high level of spirituality, did not take away that ongoing struggle that we all have. And this ongoing struggle to really have mature relationships, lasting relationships. I think today she's really a source of fresh air in the world of the media. You know, in so many movies and in so many TV shows, we were kind of having a bombardment of sexual and violent relationships, and they truly lack a spiritual dimension. But by observing Thérèse's ability to spiritualize her relationships, she becomes a very interesting study on friendships, spiritual friendships. She becomes a model of how to do this. And this spiritual friendship is really based on a normal friendship, except you have Christ in common. In Christ, you're interested in talking about your prayer life. You're interested in talking about Jesus. Many, many people have this, and they may not call it spiritual friendship, but that's exactly what it is. For spiritual directors in particular, Thérèse presents a fascinating study on our capacity to combine spiritual direction and friendship. How does that happen? Because between spiritual directors and directees, there has to be a rapport, an affinity, and she combined, which was rare, intimate deep friendship with spiritual direction. I think mainly we study St. Thérèse simply because she lived the gospel. And we have a deep desire, all of us who are Christian, have a deep desire to live out the gospel in concrete circumstances, not just when we're in church. Because it's easy when we're praying to feel spiritual, to be spiritual, but in the everyday situation. And her human struggle is wonderful because that was her unique contribution, and that's our unique contribution to our becoming saints. In the Catholic Church, we believe that we're all called to become holy, to go to heaven, and to go to heaven we have to be a saint. And you might say, well, how is this possible? How is this possible to live the gospel in such a way that our heart is transformed? Because Thérèse is the person of the heart. This whole 13 series will be discussing the transformation of the heart. That's what we need. That's what we hunger for. We all want the gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, fear, and piety. And we all, every Christian, has sufficient grace to become a saint. Otherwise, if we didn't, God has to give us this grace, or we could never do it. The problem with Trez is she had a special grace, or a singular grace, that some people have, but she had it in a very particular way. She had the gift to absorb and assimilate sacred scripture. And you might say, well, what stops us from becoming holy? What stops us from loving God? And I think mainly, it sounds kind of trite to say this, but it's our lack of generosity to spend time with the Lord in prayer. It's a spirit of the world where I place myself in my center. Instead of having Jesus as my center, I become my center. It's very easy to do that. And most of us do it some of the time. But then when we get very unhappy, we come out of ourselves and we place Jesus in the center. What's interesting, too, is our part, the Holy Spirit has all these gifts. God loves everybody. And this is what our part is, cooperation. A desire to be with God, to see God. That's what we need. Do we desire to be with God, to talk to God, to pray to God? And again, the reoccurring theme of, do we really take time to be with Him in prayer? Because many people, you know, what they do is they're very busy, and my work is my prayer. But that doesn't cover that intimate moments with God. Pope John Paul says the greatest joy of all is the joy that comes from the Lord. And this is a beautiful expression, and very true, simply because God has a joy that He wants to give us that we cannot get from anyone. Our friends give us a certain amount of joy. People we love give us a certain amount of joy. Our parents in the monastic life, my brothers give me great joy, and the brothers at EWTN, there's great joy among the brothers and the sisters here. But there's a unique joy that is special. It just comes from God. And throughout these talks, you'll find that this is what Trez is really giving us this day. In regard to spiritual friendship, she says, you want to know if I am joyful about going to paradise. I would be much so if I were going there, but I do not count on my illness. I count on love. Ask the good Jesus that all the prayers being offered for me may serve to increase the fire of love that is within me. She writes a letter to Sister Mary of the Trinity, and this is in regard to spiritual friendship. Dear sister, she writes, your nice letter delights my soul, and I see that I'm not mistaken in thinking God is calling you to become a great saint while remaining little. One thing that pleases me so much is to learn that your sadness is not making you melancholy. This was when Trez, towards the end of her life, when she was sick. But her spiritual friendship carries on. Mainly, I count only on love. So, you want to know if I'm joyful at going to paradise. What she's telling her spiritual daughter here is that her friendship is there for her. Many people think that the saints are cold, or once you reach a certain spiritual level, that you don't need people, you don't need love and friendship in your life. God suffices. God suffices in our direct relationship with Him, it's true. But God wants us to take our spiritual life and share it with each other so that we don't have what you call a one-way street to the Lord. It's got to come back. Our spiritual life has to return and become a blessing for other people. Trez had a spiritual brother in the monastery whom she loved very much. Not in the monastery, actually, but she had a spiritual friend who was a young seminarian who she became his spiritual director. And she says to him, you must know me only imperfectly to fear that a detailed account of your faults would diminish my tenderness for you and for your soul. I have no need of placing my hand on the lips of Jesus. He has long forgotten your infidelities. Only your desires for perfection, he sees. Do not drag yourself any longer at his feet. Follow that first impulse that draws you into his arms. Her spiritual direction was always one of encouragement, and one that she was a realist, and one of these people that that understood that things work better when there's love involved, genuine love. Her family life, which is important, you might say, well, why do we want to know about her family? Because she was formed in her family. That's where she became who she was. There was great love in her family. And, you know, spirituality doesn't happen in a vacuum. That her mother and father went to daily mass. She had four older sisters who loved her and who were very spiritual. And again, the one thing in her life that is so meaningful to Therese and meaningful to us all, it was a loving family, and Christ was in the middle of it. And this is, she says so beautifully, God was pleased all through my life to surround me with love. The first memories I have are stamped with smiles and most tender caresses. But although he placed so much love near me, he also sent much love into my little heart, making it warm and affectionate. I loved Mama and Papa very much and showed my tenderness towards them in a thousand ways, and I was very expressive. This is, God does not want to change your personality or my personality. God loves us as we are. It's very interesting how she was formed by her family, especially by her mother, Zelie. Her mother, it's interesting, there's a wonderful chasuble with the three squares at Mass. It's very beautiful, and on the back of this chasuble, Therese painted a cross, and at the bottom of the cross are two flowers, the mother and the father. And above, towards the middle, near the Holy Face, there's five other flowers that are the five daughters. And near the five flowers, there's four buds, and the buds are the four children that died very young. Both Zelie and Mr. Martin, Lewis, both their parents attempted religious life, and both were turned down. And they entered into that. It was difficult for them to be turned down because they really wanted to be religious. But God had other plans. And these plans, of course, were the nine children. Therese, since four other children had died, she was sent out to a wet nurse near her house in the country to keep her house. So she was absent from the family for a year. And remember, in those days, central heating didn't exist, maybe in rare, rare places. So the house that they lived in, she was born in Alençon, which is, we always think of Therese of Lisieux, but she started out her life for the first 4 years in Alençon, which is not too far from Lisieux. As was mentioned, the daily mass, the reading, the frequent topic of spiritual subjects, God was the center of their family life. And the mother, as I said, formed Therese so much that her mother said, only will we be really happy in heaven when we're all reunited in heaven. And Therese remembered that her whole life. I think that without being too, stressing it too much, we remember things our mother and our father tells us for years. Now, those things are kind of written into our heart. Zelie, unfortunately, had cancer of the breast, and she had it when Therese was born. And she was really worried, maybe not about herself, but mainly about bringing up her four daughters. She knew that Mr. Martin was a very good man, a very holy man, but she also knew that the daughters needed a mother. And this is very important to keep in mind, that Therese had a very integrated, a very loving personality, and until the age of 4 and a half, when her mother died. And the problem with that death was the problem that everyone has, a young child losing its parents. That's the fear of all young children, that the mother and father are going to go away and not come back. So Therese, again, the mother had said to her, you know, we're all called to be saints. And Therese, that was kind of a Theresian theme when she was a young girl. She never forgot that she was really called to be a saint. And what happened after her mother died? She, after the funeral, they came back to their lovely house on Main Street in Alençon, and her sisters were there, and she, Céline ran to Marie and said, you'll be my mother. And of course, Therese ran to Pauline and said, you'll be my mother. It sounds very beautiful, but it was an unfortunate circumstance because she never really absorbed her mother's death in the sense that you can't replace a mother that quickly. And although Pauline was a wonderful, wonderful person, it took Trez a good 10 years to rediscover her happy character. So we've got two Therese's here. The first 4.5 years of her life, really peaceful and joyful, insecurity and happy. And after that, we have the second period of her life in which she had to struggle for, to really overcome this deep sadness, and didn't mean that she didn't have a relatively happy family. She did. Mr. Martin's a very interesting study, because Mr. Martin was 50 when Therese was born, a very contemplative soul. He had an unconditional love for his daughters and an unconditional love for Therese. As people speak God by the radical direction of their lives, and his life was really centered in God. And that's something that we could go on for hours about, Mr. Martin and the mother. Both Mr. Martin and Zelly, Lewis and Zelly, are up for canonization. They're already venerable. Mr. Martin ran a jewelry shop in Alençon, and Mrs. Martin ran a lace shop, so that they were good business people. And Mr. Martin got in a lot of trouble simply because he wouldn't open up his store on a Sunday, and he just did not want to sell things on a Sunday. The fact that all five girls wound up as sisters is an astonishing thing. The fact that he supported them all is wonderful. It shows his great grace and great love of the Lord. He was so happy to give his daughters to Lisieux, to the Carmelin Lisieux. In fact, before he died, he bought they needed a new altar at St. Pierre's, the cathedral in Lisieux, and he paid $10,000 for that altar, which was a tremendous amount at the time. And before he died, Trez saw him for the last time. He had several strokes, and he'd been away in a hospital. We'll talk about this later, but just to keep in mind that she went through a tremendous struggle when her father had these strokes. And when they were called to the speak room in the monastery, she was very, her sister said, "I can still see Therese, very pale, following behind us to the speak room without saying anything. It was her way. We didn't pay any attention to her because she was the little one." And that's her whole essence, is that, you know, she remained the little one. And this is really Therese is doing for us by just this little introduction. In the next session, I would like to, you know, talk into more detail about their move to Lisieux, because remember, her life was very happy until they moved to Lisieux. So when you think of Therese of Lisieux, you have to keep in mind that this was the time that her mother had been called by the Lord. So this move to Lisieux was both happy and very sad, because Mrs. Martin, of course, never saw Lisieux. And this is the time that Therese really grew spiritually, and the sisters and the father are certainly have a tremendous, tremendous part in her formation. When Therese was 6 years old, she would go for long walks with the father, and they visited this particular monastery where Therese would finally enter. Her father would take her there as a child and would speak to Therese about the Blessed Sacrament, speak to Therese about the sisters, what they were like, and not realizing that one day all his daughters would be there. Therese, of course, got a tremendous devotion to the Eucharist, which we'll talk about later. And her prayer life, you know, in her works, her autobiography, which we'll talk about later, she doesn't give any system of prayer, but her prayer is really an elevation of the heart. Therese is a person of the heart, and I think that her sensitivity and her openness to God really touched her heart. In fact, as a child, she saw this poor man walking down the street, and she wanted to give him money, and he refused, and she felt really bad that she maybe had been a bit hasty in offering this man money. And she said she remembered him 5 years later at her first communion. So, you know, we have someone here that is one of us. Therese of Lisieux is certainly not a person or does things that we can't do. Because when we think of a saint, we think of somebody very exceptional. And in one sense, she was exceptional. But the reason she was exceptional, she did not in any way ever shirk the graces that God was giving her. The more we go into her life, the more we understand that God had so much to give her. And many of us want to do things for God, which is wonderful. But Therese kind of received the Lord in his love. She understood that God has a lot to give us. And this is really what she has to teach us this day, that God has a lot more to give us. And it's hard to receive. Most of us find it much easier to give a gift than we do to receive a gift. Her sisters, of course, are fantastic. Pauline was her spiritual mother. And, you know, this is Pauline formed Therese until Pauline herself entered the monastery. And then after Pauline, we have Marie, who stayed at home with Therese until she herself entered the monastery. So we have and then Therese entered the monastery, Celine entered the monastery. That's kind of a quick caption of her early life. And, you know, what I find so interesting is that God works through people in Therese's life. God worked through the death of her mother. God worked through the formation of the mother. God worked through her sisters when they left. Like, imagine, after losing her mother, then losing Pauline, who took the name Sister Agnes when she went to the monastery. So, you know, she had, in one way, a very beautiful childhood, but a very difficult childhood. But she was grounded in the Lord. And the fact that she went through this 10-year period of, call it a purification, call it a testing, it created in her a deep need for conversion. And you might say, well, why, you know, why would... What is this business about she's such a holy little girl and she's a good person? Why does she need conversion? She needed to rediscover her emotional balance. That she cried over little things, she got upset over many things, and she knew in her heart that this is not like what was good for her. It wasn't good for her father. She had a difficult time in school, although she received very good grades. And this is what leads me to something that may sound strange, but Therese is a convert. Therese is a convert. And we'll discuss that also the next time. And we'll also discuss mainly how that God does work in the present circumstances. And this is one of the things that most people find it difficult. Many of us like to think of the future. We like to think about the past. But in the present moment is what really we're being called to discover God here and now. In this moment, at this time of our life, the past we always consider maybe better. But Therese teaches us again and again, it's in the present moment that God visits us, and that by being receptive to Him, He can do wonderful things in us. There's no room in the spiritual life for discouragement. And you might say, well, that's naive and idealistic. But at her first communion, she made the resolution to never get discouraged. And many things happened that did obviously make her discouraged. But she knew that God is good and that God is behind everything. And that's another. She lived by faith. So we have several examples in this particular talk that has been given that Therese is like urging us on to become closely united to God in the present moment, to accept our friends, our family, with love and peace. And there's nothing to fear in the spiritual life. You know, many people do fear if they get too close to God, it's going to ask all kinds of difficult things. But whatever God asks us, as Therese teaches us, He's going to give us the grace to do. And we live by faith, not by sight. This is one of her great gifts to us. And this is what we're really celebrating, the faith of Therese of Lisieux. So I hope that this particular talk can just get you energized and get you interested in this young saint who died at 24. And certainly, she is, we have so many things. We have her poems, we have her letters, we have her autobiography, we have her last conversations. All these things have been preserved. So when we read these things, they do give us an inner peace and a thirst. I think that if she had something to tell us today, I think she, you know, her thirst for God, her hunger for the Lord. One of the things she said that was so powerful was that she would break down to tears to think God isn't loved. And this is truly beautiful to think. That she wanted, if people only knew how tender and the tenderness of God, and that's really what her life is all about, to teach us the beauty of God and the tenderness of God. And to be with God doesn't have to be difficult. I'd like to give you a blessing before I go. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.